Live, on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers back at the World Headquarters. We are live on location at beautiful Michael Park here at the Danielson Stage in Amory, Wisconsin. It is an absolutely gorgeous day here in the North Woods, along the Apple River, right to our right, a few yards. We have fresh brats smoking at Amory Meats right across the street. We're going to have a brat, and we have our friends with us here on location. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite on this Friday, TGIF edition, the 14th of June, 2024. To my immediate left, my friend, my colleague, and for the next 2 hours, my rival, Jane Matinere of Matinere on Air, every day preceding us, 10 until noon. And to her left, our other friend, and he's cheering for Jane, so I guess he is a rival as well for the next 2 hours. The host of Up North News Radio every morning, 6 to 8, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, drove all the way from Lake Wasota.
We've had to listen to Hope and Crosby all week here, you know, doing the road tours. And they're on the road to Balsam Lake, you know, later today, and they're getting a little punchy at the end of it, and I'm so glad they truly made it up north.
We did.
Great to have you here. Apple River, the Muskies are probably picking off tubers left and right, you know, as we speak right now. But it was a gorgeous, I mean, I can't thank you enough for picking today that I could drop the top on the Jeep and have just a perfect drive up here.
It really is weather. It does not get better than this.
No.
It simply doesn't. It's nice puffy clouds and blue skies, and the breeze is cool, and it's perfect.
It's a flag day as well. Thus, if you're watching on the stream, we have a plethora of the red, white, and blue under the auspices that this beautiful banner doesn't belong to any one or any particular party. It belongs to all of us as Americans, and so we're celebrating that. We've got Wonder State Coffee, courtesy of Wonder State Coffee Roasters in Viroqua, Wisconsin, sitting right over there. If you're in the area in northern Wisconsin, stop on over to beautiful Michael Park here at Danielson Stage. Join us, grab a cup of coffee, say hi to Patrick and Jane and all the fine people. We have Joey. We tried to get Joey on the air here, but Joey's our great ad account executive up here for Civic Media.
Handsomest camera shy guy I know.
Now that's a guy who belongs on TV.
100%. 100%.
Yes.
So, he is our representative up here for Lake Air Radio, WLAK, the local station here in the Amory area. And so happy to have him out here. A little bit later, we're going to hear from April Zimmer. She is with Love Where We Come From, a marketing firm that markets the greater Amory area. She is Miss Amory, literally and figuratively, a wonderful person.
Absolutely, and so knowledgeable, and obviously just so passionate about where she lives, and with good reason.
With very good reason.
Yes.
Coming up at 12:30, Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin football player, a three-time Big Ten champion, spent 3 years in the NFL. The Big 12 is exploring giving naming rights to the conference. Should the Big 10 do that? And we'll also ask him about having a former NFL player. What about Aaron Rodgers taking a powder on the training to go to the ayahuasca ceremony? We'll see what Brady has to say about that as well, and much more. But right now we are joined by our ongoing contributor and our friend from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., like myself, a former Republican, like myself, has left the party. He is now, amongst other things, a senior advisor at the fantastic Lincoln Project. He joins us via StreamYard live from Washington, D.C. Prigvi, we made it. We're just a stone's throw from St. Croix.
I know. I can't wait. I said to you, when we do our little tour, I'm taking you to River Falls. Right from River Falls days, too, Todd. It's not horrible there.
It's not horrible.
Well, this is not
horrible.
Well,
not horrible.
You know, I'm not sure if you can tell, but I'm wearing my Green Bay Packer polo shirt this morning. And right, we can see the place, the BP gas station here in Amory. Jay and I stopped for a couple of supplies, and we were checking out. And honest to God, on the way out, she looks at me and she says, next time you come in here, wear a different shirt.
Yeah, we are definitely in the DMZ.
You are in the – I know. I grew up in the DMZ.
Yep.
I became so militant about the Packers because Quinn Armstrong used to throw my Packer cap up on top of Greenwood Elementary School every time I wore it.
But I said, well, at least you guys got Favre for his first season.
Right. Exactly.
All the Super Bowl rings. Right. Yeah,
yeah. Have you ever noticed how the Vikings collect all our trash when players get done playing in Green Bay?
Nice.
Ooh, we're bringing it out.
Right out of the gate. Ouch. I love it. But Trig Me and I, we're going to do another statewide tour as well. We're still getting the exact locations down, but we're going to spend a little time up here in the Northwoods, Trig Me, and we'll be going the entire week before the RNC as we make our way to Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention. I know you're going to join us out here for part of that as well in Milwaukee. But let's get right to it, because speaking of yesterday, the Trumpster got himself into a little hot water, and he called Milwaukee, quote, a horrible city. Now, you've been a presidential strategist and advisor to guys like John McCain and others. If you're Chris LaCivita, who I know you know, Trump's campaign manager, not the exact thing you want your candidate to be saying a couple of weeks out from the Republican National Convention in the city he called horrible.
Yeah, so I think it's not just that Trump called it horrible. I mean, that's bad. Right? Like, not good for winning Wisconsin. Because number one, right. People like the Lincoln Project can do ads like we did, which we don't think Milwaukee's horrible. In fact, there's, you know, a lot of proud, hardworking Wisconsinites there. But if Donald Trump thinks Milwaukee is horrible, what does he think about Amory or River Falls or Chippewa Falls?
Yeah.
All these other places, right? It says the disdain. Yep. But here's the other piece that I think's got to be worrying LaCivita maybe even more. They tried to mount a response by getting Van Orton and Style and Tiffany and Fitzgerald and all these guys to say... To have a message while he was talking about X. Except the problem is Derek Van Orton said he was talking about crime. Brian Stiles said he didn't actually say it. And then he said, no, he was talking about elections. Like Tiffany said that he was referring to some internal dispute in Milwaukee between the county board and the city. Like these guys can't get their story straight. That has to be a bigger issue. And so, honestly, I think that's why they pivoted to what they did, which is the this whole fake doctored video of Biden, which Scott Walker was pushing around last night, which infuriated me so bad, and I did feel bad in the morning. I actually tweeted a picture of his bald spot, because pushing around stuff like that is about like the people who are pushing around his bald spot, except he actually has a bald spot, and Joe Biden didn't wander off at the G8. So there's that.
What is the context for that?
I was actually working for Dale Schultz in the Capitol at the time, and what happened? He, like myself, male pattern baldness, and instead he claimed that he was fixing a cabinet at the executive residence and hit his head, and that it was a scar. Well, last time I checked, scars don't encompass your entire top of your head. Well, Trevi shaved his head. I keep mine short. I'm going bald.
I cannot relate to any of this.
No. Of course, well, Pat wears
a toupee. No, because you have television. You have television. Pat has television hair.
Hair. Yes.
He
does. Game show host hair, as a consultant called it once.
No, you do have beautiful hair.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
But as far as the ad that you're referring to, Trigby, with President Biden wandering away, what is the context of that?
Oh, yeah, he was in a shot. Yeah, go ahead, Trigby. You got it.
Well, so they're at the G8, right? And so there's a camera, obviously, sitting to the side. There's several cameras because he's going to move around. They're all moving around, and there's seven of them. So the shot to the side shows Biden turning and sort of walking away from the rest of the leaders. Well, what they don't show in the shot, because of the way that it's set up, is that a parachuter had just landed nearby. They were watching a display of people coming in on parachutes, and he's walking over to him to say good job and give him a thumbs up. But the video that's being pushed around on the right just basically shows, it looks like from the angle it shot, that Biden's just wandering off talking to himself. I mean, it's the most disingenuous. It's literally worthy of Pravda in the day.
And I'm not sure if you saw this last 45 minutes to an hour. Apparently now they're saying this video was digitally altered to take out the paratrooper or parachuter that Biden was actually talking to make it look even worse.
Yes, correct. Correct.
I mean, so they literally digitally, and you talk about this in your rules to deal with authoritarian, Trigvi. Give us just like the 1 minute short version on this, what this whole strategy is, straight out of the Eastern Europe playbook.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's classic. There's a Russian term called lesneya informatsiya, which is false information with a strategic purpose. And that's exactly what they're trying to do here. So the ends justify any means, and they've got a problem and a distraction. So they don't even mind if they get caught, because the people that want to believe that somehow Joe Biden is wandering off talking to himself are going to believe it. And now, instead of people having a conversation like we are about the fact that Donald Trump thinks Milwaukee is a horrible city. And clearly, if you gave him truth serum, he would say all of us from Wisconsin are probably a bunch of rubes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's just be honest about it. And instead, we're talking about the fact that they literally doctored video and fighting over that while they're still saying, you know. So it's letting Brian Stile off the hook. It's letting Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald and Derek Van Orten, who literally can't get their story straight or are lying to the voters of Wisconsin for Donald Trump.
Or as Jane put it so well on her show, squirrel.
Well, it is. Right. It's a big squirrel, Trigvi. You know, they voted, Senate Republicans yesterday voted against IVF. The Southern Baptist Council also came out strongly against IVF. They don't want to talk about that. So here's this other, go look at this thing. Go look at this other thing.
All right. Yeah. Trigvi? And I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I really believe this is the case. I was doing some focus groups in Wisconsin, kind of not far from where you guys were last week. And we got talking about women's reproductive rights with Republican dads of daughters. And when you say to them, they are coming after your daughter's birth control, and that's why your daughters are angry that you're supporting Donald Trump, they're like, that can't happen. And I finally got frustrated and said, it is in Oklahoma. They just don't want to believe it.
Well, we appreciate, Trigvi, you're going to stick around for here for one more segment. And when we come back, we're going to play this great ad that Lincoln Project put out last night, hours after Donald Trump called Milwaukee a horrible city. Don't go anywhere. Pat Kreitlow, Jane Matinere, Trigvi Olson, much more from beautiful Amory on the Civic Media Ready Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to Amory, Wisconsin. We are live on location, the All Ball Show, Civic Media, along with our friend, colleagues, Jane Matinere and Pat Kreitlow. It is the road show, Matinere and All Ball, including Kreitlow on occasion when he graces us with his presence, which we're always happy to have.
Absolutely.
We're always happy to have.
Good save after blowing me off yesterday for the pontoon ride.
We'll talk about that coming up in hour two. It was a long drive up here.
I can't make it up here. It's just here. What's going on today? I can't come on.
It wasn't that bad, was I?
It had that flavor, and I understand.
It had that flavor, yeah. We'll tell you how
it's a story.
It's a story. We'll get to it. But Jane and I have had a lovely time, and thank you, Jane, for everything you've done to make this happen.
Oh,
I really appreciate it.
I couldn't have had a better travel companion and a better broadcast companion. We genuinely have had so much fun. Yeah. Don't tell people at work.
Right. Don't tell them at work. We do have this little contest, though, going the Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Jane and I are in a battle for our lives. We're going to tell you about 10 minutes before the end of our show. So about 10 minutes to 2, we'll tell you who has gotten more texts over the last 2 weeks, Jane or I. And if it's a tie, it's a best of 3 leg wrestling competition in which Pat Kreitlow will officiate.
Here.
So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a good time had by all. Right now, we're joined by Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican. Hours after Donald Trump called Milwaukee, quote, a horrible city yesterday, Trigvi and Rick Wilson, who are experts at this, who have done some of the best ads in political history on the GOP side before they left the party, put this together. It is an award winner. Here's the Lincoln Project response to Donald Trump yesterday.
Milwaukee, our town. The Bucks, the Brewers, Harley Davidson. Brats, cheese curds, best beer in the world. We work hard, we play hard. We're damn proud of Milwaukee. It's home, and we love it. If Donald Trump says Milwaukee is a terrible city, imagine how little he thinks of the rest of Wisconsin.
Ouch.
Love nice. Every minute of that, Trigvi. Well done.
You know what? I'm bumming out because I forgot fish fries and cheddar cheese, but
you only had so much time. All right, and I have a feeling there'll be more. There'll be more opportunities.
I think you're right about that. I mean, the nice thing is we get a few different swings at it because the digital version will be 15, and then we can do some 30s. And so, yeah, I'm glad you guys liked it. You know,
well, and to your greater point that. To your greater point, though, Trigvi, we've been talking about this all morning, we all share so many more things in common that we love and appreciate and value here than the things that they're trying to do to split us apart.
And understand that there are so many people who have lived in multiple Wisconsin communities. Both of my daughters were born in Milwaukee while my wife attended medical school. I have lived in Rice Lake. I have lived in Eau Claire. Sherry grew up on a dairy farm, but has lived in Madison for a time. Plenty of people who now live in one zip code lived in another, and they're not here to single out one and say you're a lesser part of Wisconsin. Yeah. There are politicians who love to do that, but I know as a former legislator working with legislators from Milwaukee, there's a lot more that unites people from a rural district and an urban district that politicians just love to divide and exacerbate for their own gain rather than solving the problems that we have in common. Because, yeah, we have good things in common. We have problems in common, too. You said crime and substance abuse and everything else, and we could be working on those things together if it wasn't so easy to dump on Milwaukee or Madison, you know, as a matter of convenience.
I'm not sure, Trigvi, you saw this yesterday. It's ominous if we have it. I believe Congresswoman Gwendolyn Moore, who represents Milwaukee, was on Lawrence O'Donnell last night. And here's what her response was last night on the O'Donnell Show. Here we go.
And again, I don't know many people in Milwaukee who have 34 felony counts against them.
Well, Donald
so
Trump,
our crime rate sure is going to go up when he joins us in Milwaukee.
There you go. That's right.
Ouch.
You don't mess with Gwendolyn Moore, Trigvi.
No, you don't. You don't. I mean, the truth of the matter is, I mean, just watching it, there is an element of him doing this and then how his allies have been all over the map that kind of makes like putting together the ad or what Gwen does there a gimme putt, right? Like it's not that hard. But I think the bigger point is, you know, I come from the other part of the state, right? Like I come from the Twin City suburbs over in St. Croix County. So I have more, you know, I'm a Twins fan and a Timberwolves fan, but I don't want somebody bagging on Milwaukee. All that's said to me is how little this guy thinks of people from places like Wisconsin. It reinforced that. And well, hardcore Trump people are going to figure out ways to explain this away in the same way they have January 6th, in the same way they are with the felonies, and same way they are with the Access Hollywood tape and grabbing women by the, you know. Yeah. The truth of the matter is there's a lot of swing voters, Dobbs dads and Red Dawn conservatives who are in Wisconsin, who are going to look at this in places like Rice Lake or Amory or wherever. And they're going to say, this guy thinks we're that dumb and gullible. And I just don't think they're going to buy it.
I agree with you. And for like a lot of folks, Milwaukee is a national and sometimes international calling card. The 82 Milwaukee Brewers, Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, Christian Yelich now. The Packers played in Milwaukee for a number of years. Schlitz Beer, Laverne and Shirley, Happy Days, the Fonz. I mean, the list goes on and on. These are
the Bodines.
The Bodines, Harley Davidson. These are things that every American recognizes, and it's all about Wisconsin, and we all have a part of ownership in that.
100%. I mean, I just hope he doubles down and starts bagging on the Packers and the Badgers before he's done. I mean, he might as well own it. Since I know that La Civita tracks what I say, hey, Chris, it would be a real good move for you to have him bag on the Packers. He should show up wearing a Jets hat and an Aaron Rodgers jersey next time he goes to Green Bay.
He's a New York guy. Why wouldn't
right?
He?
Yeah.
And have him talk at length about how he hates fish fries. I think that would be really, really smart.
And cheese curds.
Yes.
Terrible. They're terrible. They're terrible for your body. Really quick, Trigby, did you see that OC Orange County Eric Coveney went to the wrong OC this week? He was invited and said he was going to Oconto County for an event last weekend, and the paparazzi canceled it, and the paparazzi shot him on the Laguna Beach in the OC in California. Did you see that?
Oh, man.
He went to the wrong OC.
That
but
guy.
But it's supposed to show he lives there. He's one of these guys who lives there.
He does live there. And this is the thing. Here's the other thing I would say about it is, right?
30 seconds.
Tammy Baldwin had a great response. But, you know, the secret to Wisconsin politics, and Tammy Baldwin gets that, is to get out and go to the bars and go to the events and talk to people and connect with them. And that's what they like about Tammy Baldwin. The big problem for Donald Trump with this ultimately is it demonstrates he does not get us. He would not want to go and sit in a bar with people in Wisconsin.
Go to the bars. Eric Hovde had to pay three of his company's directors to sit in a bar with him commercial.
Trigby, you know where? OC Eric Hovde was on Laguna Beach this weekend. Want to know where Tammy was? Serving cheese curds and pancakes at the Richland County Dairy Breakfast.
As it
absolutely
should be.
Of course she was.
All
right, guys.
Trigby Olson, appreciate it. Lincoln Project. Stay
See
tuned.
You guys.
Brady Ewing is next.
Right.
Live from Avery.
Standing there on that lawn, discount shades, store-bought tan, flip-flops and cut-off jeans. Somewhere between that setting sun, I'm on fire, I'm born to run. You looked at me and I was done, but we're just getting started. I was singing to you, you were singing to me.
Welcome back, so live in Amory, Wisconsin, on the Danielson stage at Michael Park, downtown Amory. It is a beautiful day. Puffy white clouds, a blue sky, green grass, a song like that makes me think back when my grandparents were dairy farming, and that's a haymaking song right there.
It really is. Or just really, as soon as I heard that song, I just threw my sunglasses on now and just kind of leaned back and joined a leisurely Friday in the park.
It's a beautiful day here at Amory, and we're here at Danielson Stage. Got the flags behind us. Flag Day here. Pat Kreitler.
Yeah, about Flag Day? Why did you have to be so divisive with that earlier comment?
What's
about,
that?
You said the flag is a symbol for all of us. That's something
know.
That we can all get behind. And, I mean, divisive rhetoric. I mean, you're purposefully dividing people who want to fly their flags upside down.
I know. That's
alternative flags. Don't understand. Your inclusiveness is so divisive.
The first time I've been accused of that, but I appreciate it.
Seems to be in their playbook now. Is
right,
that if you,
right.
Diversity, equity, inclusion, that's divisive.
I can't. But you know, a person that's always inclusive always makes us feel better every time he stops by. Our fellow Richland Center native, he was a member of the Wisconsin football team for his entire college career at Wisconsin, and was a three-time Big Ten champion, and then went on to spend 3 years in the NFL. Brady Ewing, he joins us as he does every other Friday via the phone from the old RC where we were a couple of days ago. Brady Ewing, it's a beautiful day here at Amory. How is it down there in the old RC?
another beautiful day. Had a bunch of them recently, so excited to get out this afternoon and have enjoyed a handful of them this week on the baseball diamonds in the evening with the kiddos and all good stuff.
That's fantastic. Now, are they old enough? Are they actually doing like baseball, or is it still T-ball?
So we got two that are in the coach pitch T-ball league, and then Bennett, our oldest, is in the third grade league, where it's the first time the players themselves actually pitch. So pretty cool to see that and see the growth and development they got going on.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, what's more American, what's more, you know, just Wisconsin than kids learning softball and baseball and T-ball? And just, again, it's another great example of those things in our small communities all across Wisconsin that bring folks together. Nobody's asking who voted for who. They're just there for their kids and to have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. You should have seen North Park and Richland Center last night there was a handful of games going on, people from Barneveld, Ithaca, and other surrounding, you know, Wisconsin communities just coming together, eating barbecue from the concession stand and enjoying a beautiful night. Although the mosquitoes got pretty thick once the sun started to go down, but we'll take it.
I noticed
situation
that
normal.
Jade and I did our shows there here a couple days ago, and even as we were kind of cleaning up around 3 o'clock or so, there's a storm moving, and it was pretty sultry. But yeah, the mosquitoes down there along the Pine River, they grow them big down there along the Pine River. Brady, we're always happy to have you on. And by the way, Brady, I only wish you were here. Our friend and colleague Jay Matinair has come from Amory Meats, which they do all their meat making, local livestock. They meet. Look at this. You can't ask for a better person. She has brought me a beautiful brat, courtesy of Amory Meats. Oh, I only wish you were here, Brady. I know.
But
you got the Rachel Locker.
You had to do it.
I'm sorry. We'll take care of you another time when we're down there. Look, there is this story here. And it's in the Sports Business Journal. The headline is Big 12 Exploring Naming Rights Deal with Suitors. Going to read you a paragraph here, get Brady and Pat's take. The Big 12 is exploring a naming rights agreement with Allstate, among other potential suitors, a source confirmed today, in a deal that could be worth, hang on to your hats, anywhere from 30 to 50. $50 million annually. Brett McMurphy of Action Network first reported the connection to Allstate. Quote, this is all being done to close the gap between the Big Ten and SEC, unquote, the source said. Yahoo Sports reported today that naming rights talks have centered on retaining the 12 in Big 12 and removing Big in favor of a corporate sponsor's name. So it'd be like the Allstate 12, apparently.
What's that going to do to our rates? I mean, seriously.
I know, right? Talking about mayhem.
Yeah, it's got to come from somewhere. Yeah.
But, I mean, this is, I mean, and I think we've talked a little bit, Brady, before. That's why I love the fact that Wisconsin has kept it Camp Randall Stadium and the Packers have kept it Lambeau Field. I love that. As a Badger alum, a three-time Big Ten champion, one of the last great, well, hopefully not last great, but one of the truly wonderful fullbacks at Wisconsin, what are your feelings on naming rights, particularly in college sports as it concerns the conferences?
It's a crazy development. I guess it had never occurred to me. I'm not quite sure why, because you see it with bowl games and some other things, but I think it just speaks to the fact that the growing business nature of college football and college athletics. You know, I think of it from a football sense, just with my history, but you know, name, image, likeness, the transfer portal, stuff we've talked about a bunch over the last year. I think this is just another step in the business side of things continuing to grow and find different ways to generate revenue. You know, they've had the historical areas that college sports has generated revenue for within the schools and things like that. And now with needing to generate more revenue to figure out how to pay players and, you know, do revenue sharing and all of that, this is another way to do that. So it, while it impacts the, I guess, innocence that's not the right word, but it impacts what college football and college
sports. The tradition.
That's tradition. Much better word. Thank you. You're like a radio guy or something. Uses your words a lot.
well, once in a while, even a blind squirrel finds a nut. That's what Granddad used to say. So but no, I think you're right, Brady. And so we're gonna ask this question. If people want to call in, Mr. Zahmer is back at the old world headquarters in Madison. He'll take your call. He'll text me if you call in, and we'll take your call 855-752-4842. What should the Big Ten sponsorship be if they go down this road? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. If the Big Ten had naming rights, what corporate sponsor should it be and what should the name be? Now, Kelly Call, native of Burlington, Wisconsin, who is just one of the coolest people, and I know him tangentially. I don't want to go so far as to say I really, really know him, but he went on after Burlington and had a long career and spent about 20-plus years as the president of CBS Entertainment out in Los Angeles. And he's been on this program before, but his Twitter handle on Twitter is Cali Badger. And he is a graduate of UW-Madison and is working on a documentary right now of the 82 Milwaukee Brewer World Series team. But he tweeted out last night, he said, "How about Miller, champagne of conferences?"
Ooh, that's
I thought that was pretty good. What do you think of that, Brady?
Honestly, when I was reading some of this stuff and you posed the question to me in preparation here this morning, the first thing that came to my mind with the loss of Miller Park recently was Miller. I don't think there's much more Midwestern with the tradition of the Big Ten kind of getting established up in the greater Midwestern area.
Although I doubt if they're going to do that, then surely those of us in Chippewa Falls would like Leinekugels to be in the money for that. Although I would, my first thought was either Johnsonville, the Johnsonville Brats conference, or Jane. Do we know do they make this themselves, or is this a brand of brats?
Oh, it's there.
Whatever they're serving.
April. They make it right there, right at Amory Meats.
The Amory Meats Conference.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big deal here at Amory. We've seen people coming and going so far all morning.
We did also get a text. Andrew in Verona says, "Hold on, just wait, Todd. The GOP is going to defend our state universities, and they'll step in. Someday, it's going to be the UW Geckos, brought to you by Geico."
Well, that could be a thing, too.
And they're going to move all their games to Hump Day?
Right, exactly. Todd, listening on WISS in Oshkosh, says the Johnsonville 10 with a complimentary 8-pack of buns.
I fully support that.
I like that. Rutgers could be part of the 8-pack of buns.
Amen to that.
I mean, Wisconsin would be in the 10-pack of brats.
And then the 8 would be the ones on either of the coasts.
Right. What are the lesser teams? Yeah. I mean, I probably got to put USC as a brat. I mean, Oregon is unfortunate as that is. Ohio State.
I don't even think we can let them in until we can figure out how to say it.
I know.
Oregon or
the
Oregon.
The problem is that the suburb of Madison, they pronounce it Oregon, and now the state is Oregon.
That's okay. Still, we're a Midwestern conference.
Exactly. We're talking to Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badger, 3-time Big Ten champion, and also spent 3 years in the NFL, better known as the league. Also, we have here Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, every morning 6 until 8, looking at what naming rights or who should the sponsor be for the Big Ten conference if they go down that road. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Or you can text on the old text line. Tom in L.A. listening to WAUK says, "I think they should just keep it Big Ten. Sign of fascism, corporate states of America." Well, there you go. There's that, too. Here's a couple more from our friend Kelly Call, former CBS executive now out in L.A. But he has a great sports bar, Wisconsin sports bar in Santa Monica.
Oh, that's perfect. I mean, you never go wrong with a Wisconsin theme Packer sports bar anywhere in the country. I've traveled around to other Packer bars, like Manhattan. I found a Packer bar there.
Wow.
Yeah. Phoenix, you name it. Brady, that's a great business model.
Brady, you spent time with the Falcons in Atlanta and down in Jacksonville, the Jaguars. Ever find a Wisconsin bar in either one of those two cities?
I didn't. Didn't venture out to too many, to be honest with you. I guess my frequenting there is, you know, more in line with the Friday night fish fries, things like that. But
right.
Yeah, when we were down in California for the Rose Bowl, found a Wisconsin bar on that trip.
Yeah. That's great. Here's a couple more from Kelly Call, and I know it's you know, from St. Louis, but Budweiser. If Budweiser wanted to be a sponsor of the Big Ten, he suggests maybe Budweiser, and the tagline is, "When you say the Big Ten, you've said it all."
Well, you do have the Badger band playing,
right?
Yeah.
He said, "I'd even be willing to go in with our friends from Minnesota. We're very close to Minnesota right now. If Hams wanted to be you could call it the Hams, the Big Land of Sky Blue Waters."
Yes.
Should it come to that? He says, "Should it come to that?" Yeah. And here's one from Kelly for the Pac-12, which of course is only now down to Washington State and Oregon State.
Yes.
And he suggests that the Pac-12 could adopt Blockbuster of the Pac of the Pac-1 in parentheses 2.
Oh.
What do you think, Brady?
Oh man. This is great. I like this version of the show. This is a little different, but I like the
right?
The
yeah.
These ideas, and this is some good stuff.
I like Friday becomes workshopping day.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Workshopping things.
Here's another one from Kelly Call. He says Blatz. I'm sorry, that was somebody that responded to him. So how about just the Blatz of Big Ten? And here is one from someone that said for the SEC, Southeastern Conference, of course, the big other powerhouse besides the Big Ten now, the SEC, the Waffle House of universities.
Oh, they would totally be the Waffle House Conference. But the Blatz Blitz.
The Blatz Blitz.
Could do something with that.
That's, Linda and Middleton texted in saying we should call it the Culver's Stadium.
Culver's? I mean, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not? Because I don't think they have Culver's in California yet. But Culver's is in most of the Big Ten states, right, Brady? I think so.
Yeah. Continues to spread. I remember we used to love, at the time, coming up from Florida and stopping in Tennessee, that was typically the first Culver's. So we run across, heading north, and I think now, since then, they've gotten down into Florida's and all over the place.
Tony, listening to WBZH, the Buzz of the North, says, if we're going for breweries, of course, you could have the Great Lakes Brewing Company out of Cleveland. All right, well, there you go.
Or the Quick Trip one, where it's see you next time when the team leaves.
Stay tuned. Brady Ewing and Pat Kreitlow, we're live from Amory, Wisconsin, on the All-Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back to the All Ball Show, live from Amory, Wisconsin.
Jane, come back. I need somebody to polka with.
Jane's a mean polkaer, by the way.
Yes.
Yes, especially after a couple of brandy old-fashioned sweets. We are live here at Michael Park, and we are on the Danielson stage. Coming up next hour, we have April Ziemer. She's going to be joining us of all things Amory. And talking about that, Jane Matinera will be back. We're going to have our text to win Civic Media Scotty Summer Contest. Our lawyers have joined us in a dark van in suits, and I'm required to tell you still, even out in the field at Amory, it is a statewide contest. So here's the deal. Coming up, we'll give you our final word of this contest, and then at the end of next hour, we will announce who has won this little internal scrap between Matt Nair and I, and the loser has to buy the winner a steak dinner tonight at the Balsam Lodge.
It seems unfair. I looked at an event. Yours is Melikaliki Maka. Why would they give you a Hawaiian holiday greeting for your word? Jane, did you do that?
Here's the other thing, though, Todd. I don't think we can actually announce who won at the end of the show today, because any texts coming in until 2 o'clock count for us.
Yeah. Well, I have acquiesced in the name of fair sportsmanship, whatever you want to say. I have agreed to let, but at least between Jane and I, whatever the total is at 150 will be the total.
Okay.
So we are giving up 6 minutes of our. So you got to call it or you got to text in early. By the way, Rob, listening to WRCE in Richland Center, suggested for naming rights for the Big Ten, Spotted Cow.
Oh, sure.
Right?
But then you could only play all your games in Wisconsin.
Yes.
See, there's these rules.
And what's wrong with that?
Nothing. Yeah, every advantage counts.
Joining Pat and I here, as he does every other Friday, from Richland Center, live via the phone, three-time Big Ten champion, spent 3 years in the NFL, all-around great guy, a fantastic turkey hunter, by the way. Huh? He got a big turkey this year. It was great. Mr. Brady Ewing, any other thoughts, Brady, on these naming rights if the Big Ten follows the Big 12 suit and decides to do a corporate sponsorship? Any ideas?
No, I'm not a big idea guy when it comes to stuff like that. Like I said, the first one that popped into my head was, you know, some form of including Miller and brand. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the Big 12 and others move that direction. It's another opportunity to drive some revenue.
Yeah, it all comes down to the dollar sign, as my former teacher Jack O'Neill at Platteville liked to say.
The answer to all your questions is money.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to something that you knew a whole lot about, Brady. That's football and the NFL. And look, I don't want to spend a lot of time because he's gone, and I wish him all the best. I'm happy that Jordan Love is our Packers quarterback. But Aaron Rodgers continues to make news. He blew off the early, what are they, OTAs, preseason, whatever you want to call it, Brady, with the Jets this week, to go on yet another dark room retreat ayahuasca ceremony. We thought we might find him here at Amory, but no, we have not seen him yet. I guess he's in
where they smoke the meats. He's in the smoker in there.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers at the Amory Meats. That's exactly
what he
is. What
are you smoking? He's like sausages, you know, Polish. Does this brat have a hint of ayahuasca in it?
Ayahuasca brat? They might be on something there, Patrick.
Look at it, they all crane their necks like, hey, that's got an idea.
Hyabrostics, Jay Matner says. It could be. Tell us this, Brady. As someone who spent time in the NFL, how important are these early practices to a team? And do guys care that the quarterback is there or not?
I would. I mean, everyone's entitled to their perspective, but I think it's a big deal as a team leader, let alone, you know, your starting quarterback that's been doing it for a long time. And here's the thing. It's, you know, it's not necessarily for him. I mean, he is coming off injury. He didn't play all last year. He probably could use a few more reps and some time with, you know, some of the other quarterbacks and some of these receivers. But, I mean, that's the biggest thing. You look at some of these new rookies that come in, and this is their first time a part of the mandatory minicamp, and this is a chance to start establishing that relationship and trajectory for the season. So it is a little blip on the radar as far as the whole season and all the preparation that goes into the NFL season year long, but I think it's somewhat telling of kind of his perspective on his this point in his career.
Well, I think it also gets to the notion of leadership. When you are a relatively new leader, you know, and you're still, you know, what I say young in the standpoint of new to an organization, you're young and hungry. Young Aaron Rodgers would not have done this. Mm-hmm. But then you get to a point where it's like, well, I'm the leader, and the people that you came up with are no longer there. Maybe they've moved on. I think about this as a news anchor.
Yep.
There was the reporters you worked with when you were a reporter. You came up to be an anchor, but then they're gone, and you got all these youngins, and you don't have the same connection with them, and you don't bond as well. Mm-hmm. In much the same way that whenever Mr. Zomers moves on, your next producer is not going to be allowed to look you in the eye. You're going to have a whole different perspective on leadership when you become the Aaron Rodgers of this fine radio station.
I am not the Aaron Rodgers of anything, but I do like good smoked meat. But that's a whole other story. Here's somebody from Richland Center on WRCE. Brady, they know that you played for Atlanta and played with Matt Ryan. Serious question, saying curious. Ask Brady, was Matt Ryan at all of the early practices?
Yeah, I can't remember any of the mandatory mini camps I was a part of, which would have been three.
Yeah.
All of, you know, every noteworthy leader and player, the organizations I was with were always in attendance. So to me, it makes me feel like Aaron thinks he's a little bit above it for whatever reason. And maybe it's a super, you know, unfortunate scheduling thing, but those schedules for mandatory minicamp are published through the team, you know, well in advance for planning purposes like this.
And about a minute left, so we got to make it quick, Brady. But to Pat's point, you were on that great team with Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson came in from North Carolina, had never been to Madison, and ended up being voted one of the captains along with you as a co-captain with Russell Wilson on that team from Wisconsin. What did it take to become a leader like that so quickly?
I mean, just the way we dove in, it's developing relationships, it's developing that trust, it's leading the offense and leading the trajectory of where things are going. It's organizing the, you know, 7-on-7 stuff in the summer that's, you know, more like captain's type practice. It's just, it's being the person that people can look to for that direction and having that trust and relationship to be able to have those tough conversations, call people out.
Brady Ewing's fantastic. So. Thanks, Brady. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is straight ahead on the All Ball Show from Avery on Civic Media.